Lord, as we have read and heard this passage from Luke's gospel of two miracles performed by Jesus on that day, Lord, as we have sung earlier as far as wanting to see and touch, that there were so many people in that crowd that wanted to see and touch Jesus. Lord, we pray this morning that our ears may be open to listening, our eyes may be opening to having a new revelation before us of what Jesus would have us to do and how we can be ministers in his name. Open our hearts and minds this day, O God, to receive a word from you. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. I want you to look at your hands for a moment. Just, you know, look at them. God has placed within these hands, all of these hands, the power for us to bring new life into the lives of others through a simple touch. A touch on the shoulder of someone who is discouraged brings hope and new life. A touch on the hand of one who is afraid brings courage and new life. A touch on the back of one who is stumbling backwards brings stability and new life. Jesus once declared, "I came that you may have life and have it abundantly." It's not God's will for us to view life as something to be dreaded, but rather as a gift from God with unlimited possibilities for God to work in and through us. Jesus' gift of life is not something reserved simply for heaven. His gift is available to change people today. He brings new life, offering it to anyone who wants to make a change in their lives. Our scripture today tells about one day when Jesus was very busy, and there was a large crowd around him. But in the midst of this group of people was a man whose daughter was in need of a touch from Jesus. He begged Jesus to please accompany him to his home because his 12-year-old daughter was very ill. That man's name was Jairus, and he was a leader in one of the synagogues. When Jesus saw this man and heard his plea, his heart was moved to compassion, and he decided to bring new life into the heart of Jairus and into the life of his daughter. Jesus left the abundance of the crowd because a 12-year-old girl was sick and in need of one touch that would bring new life. He gave up the opportunity to speak to hundreds, maybe even thousands, just to go and see a little girl whose name we've never learned. Everybody matters to God. When God calls us to do a work for him, we need to remember that it does not have to be something that everybody else calls great. Just as Jesus was sent to leave the group for the one, we may likewise receive that call in order to bring new life into the lives of others with our touch. As Jesus went on his way, his progress was very slow, because the crowd was hindering his movement. The Bible tells us that they were pressing in on Jesus so tightly that they were crushing him. And the sad thing is that they were crushing Jesus, but not touching him. It's true, their hands were reaching out to touch him, much as people do today when they go wild over some music sensation, political personality, sports star, or a movie starlet. Jesus never wanted to be considered a superstar. He is only important to those who know that they have a need in their lives that only he can fill. Now, Jairus, that father of the 12-year-old girl, had a religious background and was considered an outstanding member in the community. He was held in high esteem by others. He was a ruler in the synagogue. But those things were not what got Jesus' attention. Jesus focused on Jairus because Jairus knew that he had a need that only Jesus could fill. And he had faith that a touch from Jesus could make all the difference in the world. Now, on that same day, there was a woman in that crowd whom I'll call Anna. Anna was a woman who was physically weak, emotionally tired, and financially bankrupt. She had been suffering from a hemorrhage for the past 12 years, going from doctor to doctor in search of a new life, but finding none. To add to her physical discomfort was the declaration by the religious law that her physical condition made her unclean spiritually. As an unclean person, she could not utilize the gift of touch that God had placed within her in her hands, because for her to touch someone, she would make that person unclean also. And for anyone to use their power of touch upon Anna would make that person unclean. She could not simply just talk to any person about her medical condition because it was a private and personal matter. She was there in the midst of that crowd that encircled Jesus. If the people in the crowd had known of her condition, they would have shouted all kinds of insults at her to get away from them. This woman had done all she could for her situation. It had been going on for 12 years, and she had spent every last cent she had on medical bills. There was nowhere else for her to turn. Jesus was her last hope. Now, it's interesting if we step back for a moment and think about this. At the same time that Jairus and his wife were celebrating the wonderful gift of joy in the birth of their daughter, Anna was beginning a 12-year period of agony and nightmare in her life. What a different path each of those families took. But some 12 years later, this outstanding leader in the community and this social and religious outcast are converging on the same Jesus looking for help. Throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus responding to needs. It does not matter how much money people have or their social status. The color of one's skin is neither an advantage or a disadvantage with Jesus. Jesus does not pay attention to the distinctions that the world would have us embrace. Like the woman coming to Jesus, we all have issues that need to be changed. And Jesus offers each one of us life. And that means living in a new way that we have not lived in the past. That woman, whom I've named for the sake of naming, making it a little more personal, Anna, believed in the power of touch. She had not touched anyone or reached out to anyone for such a long time. And she believed in her heart, if she could just touch Jesus, things would change. Others may have put her down and shouted, "Unclean!" But she believed that Jesus would receive her just as she was. She wanted a change in her life. She wanted new life. While others thought that just getting a glimpse of Jesus was the most one could expect on that day, Anna chose to reach out and touch him. She struggled and pushed through the crowd. She had to catch up from behind to get close to Jesus. And the moment she touched the edge of his garment, she felt a power go through her, and she was healed. She knew it immediately. She found the new life that she had been looking for over the last 12 years. Just a touch of Jesus made all the difference. It was a new life touch. She was thankful that she had been willing to be so bold. Each one of us may be struggling with an affliction today, but a touch from Jesus can make all the difference in what the rest of our life is going to be like. Things do not have to continue to be the same. We must not underestimate the power of the Spirit to set us free with a new life touch from Jesus Christ. Even if we stay in the circumstances we are in, God can give us a new attitude to handle the situation completely differently. A change is possible. Not only did that woman feel the touch of Jesus, Jesus also felt her touching him. He sensed that the power of love and compassion had flown out of his body to extend new life to someone. So he immediately asked the question, "Who touched me?" Looking around, the crowd that was pressing around him had pushed him beyond Anna's reach. And though many people were reaching out to touch him, when Jesus asked this question with such authority, they became afraid. And they deny that they had touched him. It's like, hands off. Even the disciples are somewhat annoyed by the question. For Peter says, "Jesus, what are you talking about? Don't you see all these people here are pressing on you? What do you mean, who touched you? They're all touching you." But Jesus replied, "Wait a minute, Peter. I know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not crazy. Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out of me." It wasn't just the jostling that he felt. He knew that someone with intention had touched him. And Jesus had a reason for making such a big deal out of this. For Anna had lived for years in the shadow of society, not wanting to be identified or known. She experienced one of the greatest moments of her life in just those moments. What thoughts must be racing through her mind in these moments? Now, and then she hears Jesus saying, "Who touched me?" And she knows that she's the guilty one. But is Jesus going to rebuke her for her unauthorized touch? Is he going to ask her for payment, of which she has no money? Her initial joy is replaced with an overwhelming sense of fear. She comes forward trembling. And the moment someone recognizes her, they probably whisper, "It's that unclean woman. She touched Jesus. No wonder he asked the question." Whispers and murmurs rush through the crowd. Anna falls at the feet of Jesus, and she tells him her whole life story. And then she gets the part about touching Jesus and how she had instantly been healed. And no doubt at this point there are tears running down her face, not tears of sadness, but tears of joy and tears of fear. But she gives her testimony of the goodness of God in her life. So we may question, well, why did Jesus stop? Why did Jesus ask? Why did he just go on? He had another appointment to be going to. But Jesus wanted to be the confirmation to this woman's testimony. For if she had not come to Jesus and confessed, she would have gone away with all the social and the religious stigma that she had come to Jesus with that day. People still would have referred to her as the unclean woman. But by giving a public testimony, she professed her faith. She was not going to be a secret follower of Jesus from a distance. Jesus looked at this woman who had just received a new life touch and said, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Those were words that restored her in society and in the religious community. All those other touches of Jesus that took place that day were missing the belief and the faith that Jesus was going to make a difference in their lives. They left Jesus in the same state as they had arrived. All those other people had been content just with looking at Jesus. But Anna was not satisfied with just a look. She came expecting more from Jesus, and her faith was rewarded wonderfully. Her faith caused her to meet Jesus face to face, and her faith in Christ brought her new life. If you remember that Jesus called her daughter, and this is the only time in the Gospels that it's recorded that Jesus calling a woman daughter. What a distinct privilege. We don't know her name, but we know the relationship that Jesus established for her. It meant that she had become a child of God. The phrase that he said has healed you is a translation of the word that means to be saved. So she had a healed body and a saved soul, and she went out in peace, all because of his word brought on by a new life touch. Jesus took time out to care for a woman that everybody else had pretty much written off because he loved her. In that brief period of time, dealing with Anna, word came to Jairus not to bother Jesus any longer because Jairus' daughter was dead. But not even death can stop Jesus from providing new life. Jesus saw the pain and the discomfort that overcame Jairus when he got the news, and Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid. Just believe and she will be healed." Jesus was inviting Jairus to continue to have faith. When Jesus arrived at the home of Jairus, he told the people to stop wailing because the little girl was only sleeping. These professional mourners laughed at him, but Jesus ignored them. And Jesus took his closest disciples, Peter, James, and John, along with parents Jairus and Jairus' wife, into the room where the little girl lay dead. He touched the little girl's hand and said, "My child, get up." And her spirit returned to her, and at once she stood up. New life had entered her body through the touch of Jesus. Now, Jesus called that woman daughter. And he calls this little girl my child. One was from the outcasts, and the other from a family of nobility. But by a new life touch, both were fully included in the family of God. The little girl's parents were astonished at what Jesus had done in raising their daughter. But Jesus ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. He did this so that this child could have a normal life, rather than be pegged as a celebrity who had been risen from the dead. Jesus does not necessarily need superstars to build the kingdom. He wants ordinary people who are willing to surrender themselves to the power of God, people who are willing to extend new life touches into the lives of others, people who are open to the leading of the Holy Spirit in everyday life situations. God needs people who are willing to reach out and touch others, as well as people who realize that they need to be touched. If you are willing to be led by God's Spirit, your life will never be the same again, nor will the lives of those whom you touch. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have seen through your scripture this day of the miraculous touch of Jesus, Lord, we pray for that in our lives as well. You know what's going on in our lives. You know those areas that need to be touched. We pray for that type of healing that we need. And Lord, as we are healed, we pray that we may then become healers of others through your touch. We claim no power of our own, O God. It is only through your Spirit that you enable us and empower us to touch others, that they may feel you in special ways. Lord, we thank you for the gift of touch. We pray now that you would empower us to be your ambassadors to those whom we meet throughout our life. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.